Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Newell getting a little summer vacay. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you on this sunny Monday morning as the hurricane season officially started yesterday. Nice that this year, like the last couple, we have not had a preseason storm to worry about. But the forecast is that we are in for another very busy season. So let's jump right in because you may have seen something on the internet already. Or if you were listening earlier this morning at 5 a.m., talked about this a little bit on the early edition of WWL First News. There's already panic and fear spreading across the internet, which is designed, I think, to send us into tizzies of panic and fear. That's what social media is for, right? Telling us that the GFS model is predicting a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico late next week. Barry Keim is the LSU health climatologist and joins us live now. Barry, should we head for the hills, pack up the families, put everything in the SUV and get out of Dodge?
No. Okay. The GFS is notorious for coming up with what we call these ghost storms, you know, predicting things way out into the future, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks, which is an eternity in the forecasting world. And I mean, yeah, it is showing something, but we're not putting a whole lot of stock in it. And the European model does not spin that same storm up. So, I mean, obviously it's something we'll keep an eye on, but right now I'd say no, this is nothing at all to be concerned about at this point.
Could you imagine making your living scaring the crap out of people, going on the internet every day with the sole intention of just inciting panic and fear? I have no problem with us talking about this. I have no problem with us saying, hey, there's this model. It's a weather model, and it's saying we could have a hurricane in the Gulf in 10 to 14 days. But the way it's presented on the internet, it's like, wow, that's what you do? That's how you make your living?
Yeah, beware of this clickbait material, because you know a lot of folks do this, and they make a lot of money on it. So just just be smart about it. And you know the official authority on all this is the National Hurricane Center. Keep a watch on what they're saying because you know, the experts are monitoring this hour by hour, probably minute by minute, actually. And I mean, yeah, you can go look at the GFS and the European models and see what they're saying. But just realize, you know, they're just models. They're useful, but they're wrong quite frequently, especially as you start going out, you know, beyond a day a week or 10 days. And you're looking at forecasts 2 weeks out. It's practically useless.
Yeah. Now, I will say some of these models, like the GFS, have been accurate at times before. There have been times when there's a clump of cloud somewhere or nothing at all, and they're predicting the formation of a storm, and lo and behold, it does happen 10 days, 2 weeks later. But that doesn't mean every time that these models say that it's going to happen. In fact, these models are designed to give us an indication of what's going to happen, but we know the accuracy is low the further you get from the starting point.
Yeah, exactly. The further out you go, the more chance, you know, chaos theory is going to rear its ugly head and you're going to be wildly off from what the forecasts have said. Having said all that, though, the forecasts are getting better and better and better. And some of the forecasts made within the last few years, I've just been blown away at the forecast accuracy. And Ida was one of those storms where they were, you know, they were forecasting a, you know, a storm. It wasn't even a tropical wave yet, and they were calling for a wave to spin up in the Caribbean, cross over Cuba, get into the Gulf of Mexico, and, you know, blossom into this major storm and hit Louisiana. And then there was a few years ago we had Hurricane Barry, or Tropical Storm Barry, I guess it was, and it was a tiny little low pressure system over Tennessee. And they were saying, well, yeah, this thing's going to move out into the Gulf of Mexico, spin up into a tropical system, and move over towards Louisiana. And sure enough, that's exactly what it did. And I've never seen a forecast look anything like that, and the accuracy was spot on. So, but, you know, as many times as we're spot on, though, there are occasional busts. So just, you know, take it all with a grain of salt. And again, the further out the forecast is for, the more likely it is to be wrong. Now, the 2, 3, 4, 5 day forecasts are getting pretty darn good. The anything under 2 days is going to be almost right on. As you get 3, 4, and 5, you might start to get a little bit of a spread. But by and large, those forecasts are getting better and better, and that cone of uncertainty is getting narrower and narrower with time. Hopefully that'll continue, although, you know, as you've probably been hearing, NOAA's taking a lot of budget cuts. We don't quite know what, you know, the full ramifications of all that's going to be on the upcoming season.
You brought up a couple of issues, actually, that I wanted to talk to you about during our visit today. So I'm going to jump in. Let's start with the budget cut issue, because the acting NOAA administrator, Laura Grimm, along with the National Weather Service director, Ken Graham, came here late last month to address those concerns and to tell us what to expect this coming hurricane season. They decided to do it here in Greater New Orleans, in Gretna specifically, because it's the season that marks the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. So there was a lot of conversation about what's changed over the last 20 years since Katrina hit in terms of forecasting and preparedness and other issues. But there was also a lot of talk about these budget cuts. And I know we've talked to you in the past about your fears you've expressed with the federal government reducing spending across the board on the National Weather Service and impacting its ability to gather data and hence produce accurate forecasting. So we asked Acting NOAA Administrator Laura Grimm how the budget cuts from the Trump administration would impact forecasting this hurricane season. And while she did not say there would be no impact anywhere at all, she said at the National Hurricane Center specifically, she expected no impact from the budget cuts. Here's what she said.
So the Hurricane Center is fully staffed up and we're ready to go. Weather prediction, forecasting, modeling is a top priority of ours. We have the new HAFS, and which was outperforming the other hurricane models. We've got GOES East is operational just of last month, providing satellite data that is feeding into the modeling system. So we are ready to go, really excited and definitely fully supportive of it. And just to say that, you know, it is our top priority. Weather prediction, modeling, and protecting human lives and property is our top priority. So we are, you know, are fully staffed at the Hurricane Center, and we definitely are ready to go. And we are really making this a top priority for this administration, for NOAA, for the Department of Commerce.
Your thoughts, Barry Keim, after hearing what the acting NOAA administrator said about the budget cuts that are impacting many levels of the federal government?
Yeah, there's a few things. This, you know, there's a lot to unpack there, actually. The Hurricane Center has not seen, large attrition. So I think, you know, they're largely intact. Where the issues come in is, you know, a lot of the Weather Service offices have taken some big hits, and many, many of them are understaffed. Now, fortunately, the one here that represents, you know, southeastern Louisiana, I think, is in pretty good shape. There weren't a lot of people who took the buyouts and early retirements and things like that. So I think our office is in pretty good shape. Several of the other offices around the Gulf Coast are not. And here's where it gets kind of complicated. These offices are responsible for gathering data. I mean, they do these balloon launches and they gather lots of data that, you know, through the vertical parts of the atmosphere that get fed into the models. And a lot of the offices are understaffed and don't have the money any longer to do the balloon launches. As a result, we have less data going in to feed the models, which is going to impact the accuracy of the models. So that's a key component. Another major issue is many of the offices, for example, the Houston office and even the Lake Charles office that represents southwestern Louisiana, are understaffed. As I understand it, the Houston office was decimated. The Tampa office doesn't have a meteorologist in charge, and they're understaffed. The New York City office doesn't have a meteorologist in charge. And as a result, if these places get threatened by hurricanes, there's going to be some understaffing. And even though the hurricane center may still be, pretty much fully intact, to take that information and then localize that for these various portions of the Gulf Coast, some of it's going to be lacking, and that concerns me. So those are two issues. Oh, and another real simple way to think about this is the pilots that fly the hurricane hunting airplanes that gather more data by flying in and out of the storms. There's been a reduction in the number of pilots. Now, hopefully none of these guys get sick. It might not be a big deal, but I think they've reduced them from like 10 down to 7. And that could be an issue. Maybe not, but we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully it won't be.
Yeah, Ken Graham addressed that to some extent, saying he felt comfortable that the hurricane hunters would be able to do everything that is asked and expected of them, whether they're flying the NOAA aircraft or flying the military aircraft. He also said a lot has changed in terms of the accuracy and the preparedness since Hurricane Katrina. Let's listen to National Weather Service Director Ken Graham.
It's great to be home here in Louisiana. We landed. I just felt it. I just felt it right away. And I wanted to, you look at the 20th anniversary of Katrina. On Sunday, August 28th, 2005, at 10:11 a.m., the National Weather Service Weather Forecast Office of New Orleans issued the following statement. Just take it in. Most of the area will be uninhabitable for weeks, perhaps longer. Airborne debris will be widespread. Persons, pets, livestock exposed to the winds will face certain death if struck. Power outages will last for weeks. Water shortages will make human suffering incredible by modern standards. Feel that? That went out on that day from the National Weather Service. And then you look back at the history and what happened. That was such an ominous call to action issued by the office 20 years ago this summer. Shortly after the product was issued, the city of New Orleans issued the first mandatory evacuation for the city. And I remember being at the Slidell office.
Yeah, Graham worked at the National Weather Service office in Slidell, the New Orleans office, at the time. And he said a lot's changed since then. While he touted the accuracy of that warning and was glad that they were able to issue it and help get people out of harm's way, he said they're much better at it now.
Look, we've been busy since then. I mean, think about the modeling. Laura mentioned the incredible HAFS model. The modeling has never been better. Our service has never been better. Our ability to serve this country has never been better. And it will be this season as well. Just amazing. So since this devastation and Katrina, knowing the Weather Service, we've made incredible strides. I mean, you just look at how far we've come, the lead times, the accuracy, hurricane forecasting, as well as storm surge watches and warnings. All that's taken place since Katrina. We've really got better at focusing on the actual hazards themselves. Saffir-Simpson, remember, that wind scale is wind. So we've separated storm surge out of that. We've separated flooding out of that. We've separated tornadoes out of that. We've separated the hazards out of that Saffir-Simpson scale with a precision that's unprecedented. Half of fatalities back then were because of storm surge, and we've reduced that. We've done an incredible amount of work to get the watches and warnings for storm surge and being able to highlight that to reduce that number.
That the director of the National Hurricane Center after leaving the Slidell office here in New Orleans, and now the director of all of the National Weather Service. LSU climatologist Barry Keim, your thoughts on what we heard from Ken Graham during his visit to New Orleans?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, I know Ken very well, and he, what he's saying is I think, accurate, although there's a little more to the story. For example, a lot of the cuts within NOAA, they've really hammered the research labs where this is where the innovation takes place. This is, where the forecast Landfalls get better and better, and you know, forecasting intensity has really been a problem over the last few decades. We haven't had huge leaps, if you will, in improvement, but it is starting to improve over the last few years. But all that innovation takes place at the research labs, and those places have been decimated. And you know, there's going to be a real brain drain of that kind of expertise, but I'm guessing, you know, off to Europe or into the private sector and so on and so forth. So one of my concerns is that innovation and those improvements are not going to continue into the future, at least not with the level that we've come to expect. So anyway, that's something that I think we need to keep a close watch on. But again, that kind of innovation, I think, is going to slow down dramatically just because we just don't have the horsepower like we used to.
Talking with Barry Keim, LSU health climatologist. You have a question about the coming hurricane season, about the federal budget cuts, about anything else as we get ready for this hurricane season, which officially began yesterday. Call and text right now, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. And we'll take a look at what you're thinking and feeling as we head into the hurricane season. We'll also have them break down the forecast for this season and why we're expecting more activity this year with another above-average hurricane season. I'm Dave Cohen. You're listening to WWL. You heard him say, don't panic, don't be scared if you see something on the internet that says there's going to be a hurricane in the Gulf in 2 weeks. There may be, but it's not time to trust in that data just yet. As we get closer, of course, we're going to watch it. And if there is going to be a hurricane in the Gulf, we'll track it for you. We'll tell you where it's expected to go, and we'll get ready as best we have to. We know the drill here at WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
10:27 on your Monday morning. Felt pretty good this morning out there, still with a little lower humidity than we normally have this time of year, and I will take that any chance we get, as now we're into already meteorological summer, which we know is normally hot, humid, and looks like we'll be in the full throes of that this weekend. Talking with Barry Keim, the LSU health climatologist. Barry, we got a text that comes in, and it's always dangerous when we mix politics and weather, but, you know, it is what it is. One person says, so you're saying forecast is fear-mongering, but you are fear-mongering about an overbloated government that needs cuts. Lunacy. Well, first of all, I'll say this before I let Barry respond. I don't think you heard any voices fear-mongering about anything in the last 25 minutes here on this radio station. No one was screaming and hollering to panic and that we're all going to die. There was none of that. It was just having a conversation about how the current budgetary process could impact things that matter in our lives. And I thought it was balanced in playing the exact, and rather than quoting or misquoting or paraphrasing, I played the federal officials who are responsible for the National Hurricane Center, and you got to hear directly from them, and you got to hear Barry explain concerns that are out there and express why those concerns are out there. Likewise, we acknowledge that there's a forecast from one model that says there's going to be a hurricane in the Gulf in less than 2 weeks, and talked about whether or not we should be worried about that. It's called a conversation. Barry, I didn't hear any fear-mongering on either issue.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, it's amazing how politicized weather and climate has become. I mean, I don't fully understand how and why that's happened, but it certainly has happened. And clearly, you know, politics is intertwined with, you know, how we respond to these events, how we're able to forecast, because the federal government, you know, funds the Hurricane Center and NOAA and, you know, all these constituents. So they're, you know, there's no way to avoid the political aspect of it. And it is what it is. And yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of what do we as a society want to pay for? And, you know, some people want to pay more and some people want to pay less. And, what level of service do you expect out of your government? And I mean, I don't have the answers for any of this. I mean, but let's just say, I think the quality of life that we have here is way better than in some other third world nations that don't have, the infrastructure to cope with these kinds of events and forecast them and put it all together. Like we can in the United States. And I just hope that, you know, the level of services doesn't go down. That's my hope. We'll see.
And we talked about the private sector picking up some of that burden as well. And I know that that's been a common theme in a lot of conversations about how the private sector has proven that in many areas it can be more efficient, more effective than government agencies. Now the question becomes, is that true for hurricane forecasting? And do we want to see all this innovation you talked about, all of this brain power that had been working within the federal government to develop better satellites, better buoys, better hurricane forecasting through better computer programs, and so many other techniques and information? Do we want to see those people now go into the private sector and start doing for-profit work of publishing their forecasting or their technological advancements? And will that be as effective? I don't know. And will this be a long-term move away from federal funding for weather forecasting, whether we're talking about hurricanes or any other weather systems or even our daily forecast, more towards private industry doing that? I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens in the elections 3 years from now and what direction the government goes. But political winds of change are something we've dealt with a lot. But as I've noted many times on this radio station, the winds are stronger than ever. When they switch direction in politics, they go from blowing directly from the right to directly from the left. And we don't get a whole lot in the middle anymore. So let's get away from politics and let's talk about the upcoming hurricane season. because and this be, the reasons that we're expecting a more active hurricane season can also be controversial now because of warmer sea surface temperatures. And that's another conversation. But we are expecting an above average hurricane season, correct?
Yeah, more than likely. The NOAA put out their forecast. They're forecasting anywhere from 13 to 19 named storms. To put that in perspective, 14 is considered an average season. So if we only picked up 13, yeah, we would have a below average season. More than likely, we're going to be above that, and which would you know is likely to make this an above normal season. In fact, they're saying there's a 60% chance for an above normal season and a 30% chance for normal. So, you know, a 90% chance of normal to above normal. And that's just the pattern we're in right now. Since 1995, the sea surface temperatures across the breeding grounds have been running above normal. And that's going to probably stay like that for the foreseeable future. And then the other major variable that we throw in there is whether or not there's going to be, you know, an El Nino or a La Nina or neutral. Just so happens this year we're neutral. El Ninos give us extra wind shear, which helps mitigate the number of storms that we have. La Nina tends to put the seasons on steroids, really knocking down the amount of wind shear. And this year is just neutral, so it's kind of shrug your shoulders. And as a result, though, they're expecting, you know, they really are expecting above normal numbers. So, again, of those 13 to 19 named storms, they expect 6 to 10 to become hurricanes. And of those 6 to 10, 3 to 5 to become major hurricanes. And there's no telling, you know, at this juncture where they're going to go. It really just depends on the meteorology at the time, what those steering currents are, and, you know, where it brings the storms. So we just have to buckle up your chin strap and see what Mother Nature throws at us this season.
And as we always have to caution, it doesn't matter how many there are. If there's just one and it comes here, well, then it's a devastating season for us. If there are 30 and none of them come here, then it's a quiet season for us. And NOAA does not forecast where these storms are going to go because there's no way to do that before they form, right?
That's correct. And I always like to emphasize the year 1992, all the factors were against a busy season, and it wasn't a busy season. But we had Hurricane Andrew spin up in late August. That's the first storm of the season, is late August, but it happened to be a monster, annihilated South Florida, and wasn't too kind or friendly to Louisiana either. So all it takes is one to ruin your whole year. I mean, it's a busy year if you get hit. And, you know, the fact that they're expecting an above normal season this year, that just increases the likelihood that we're going to, you know, get paid a visit by a storm like this. So just be ready. Yeah, that's the bottom line.
And be ready for what could be a busy season like we've seen in recent years. But last year was nice. Nothing really here that we could write home about. But I've been looking, and a lot of people like to talk about long-term averages, and it feels like for Southeast Louisiana, for Greater New Orleans, every generation has its big storm. If you go back to Betsy in 56, Camille in 69, Katrina in 2005, well, we're 20 years removed now. And so a lot of people are like, I don't know, we may be due. Do you put any weight into the conversation that, hey, you know, every generation we have a big one. Are we due for a big one now?
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at, I mean, I do a lot of statistical work, and the bottom line is every year has the same probability, in essence, and you know, of us getting a big storm. So I don't put a whole lot of stock in that. And I mean, there are a lot of things. I mean, in fact, I've heard this for years, that if we get a snow event in the winter, that we see a rougher than normal hurricane season, and we're more likely to get hit here.
Yeah, and a lot of people remember that we did before Katrina. That winter, we had snow, and everyone remember going outside and building little snow people and throwing snowballs. It wasn't a lot of snow, but it was snow that winter preceding Katrina. So a lot of people say, uh-oh, we had, what, a foot of snow in parts of Southeast Louisiana in the winter preceding this hurricane season. So they like to draw parallels.
Yeah, so I would argue that's probably about as accurate as the groundhog or the nutria that we have here, or the crawfish that I think does forecasting as well. So, I mean, yeah, just take all that stuff with a grain of salt. I don't put any stock whatsoever in any of that. And, it just kind of is what it is. But I've heard that from a lot of people about the snow. But but I don't think it means anything. So just don't. I mean, does it mean we're going to have a busy season or not? So just don't even worry about it.
So it's coincidence that it happened then, but there's no scientific relation between what happens during the winter and then what happens in the next hurricane season.
That is absolutely correct. That's the way I see it anyway.
All right. Well, since you study this stuff, I'm going to go with you, not the average person who just says, well, if it snowed, it means we're going to get walloped by a hurricane. If there's no scientific reason for that, then I feel a little bit better.
Yeah, there's no science behind that. Those are what's called singularities, and they are what they are, but they don't really mean anything in the larger picture.
We heard Ken Graham talk about the changes since Katrina. You know what? I don't think I've ever asked you. Tell us your Katrina story, Barry. Where were you in 2005 when Katrina hit Mississippi and Southeast Louisiana?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was actually at GOSEP, the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Back at that time, we used to mobilize a group from LSU. I was on the faculty at LSU at the time. And we would go down there and we would give briefings whenever an advisory would come out from the National Hurricane Center. We would take that, again, sort of regionalize and localize the information, and then work with all the constituents at GOSEP, which includes, every factor, every element of Louisiana society has some representation there. And, we would help people make decisions on, do we evacuate hospitals in this area or assisted living facilities and so on and so forth. So we would help those folks make those kinds of decisions by, taking what the Hurricane Center would say and then localizing it, for their specific situation. And of course, my mother still lived in Chalmette at the time, and I was in Baton Rouge. And that house took on, she was with me for the storm, but the house took on 9 feet of water. And, she was expecting to be with me for a day or two and go home. And 3 months later, she's still camped out at my house.
Did she ever go back to Chalmette?
She did not. She ended up buying a house in Baton Rouge and stayed there and just basically rebuilt her house and eventually sold it in Chalmette.
Yeah, a lot of Chalmatians ended up in Baton Rouge and or Slidell. As a result,
yeah.
And I'll never forget going down to Chalmette as soon as it was safe to do so and just being shocked by just seeing houses in the middle of streets that you couldn't even figure out from the address on them where they came from. They had to come from blocks or further away. Cars on top of houses, houses on top of cars. The stench of the stench was overwhelming everywhere you went. And yeah, you just knew that anyone who had stayed there likely had not survived. So what was that like for you being a part of the team that was saying, hey, we might want to do the first ever mandatory evacuation for Greater New Orleans?
Yeah, well, what was amazing about that storm, and I know New Orleans gets a serious black eye about the folks that got left behind in Katrina, but the fact that the Department of Transportation got over 1 million people out of here within a 36-hour window. Because the forecasting on that storm started out with the storm actually making land. They thought it was going to cross over Florida and go into the panhandle of Florida, near Destin and Panama City.
And that was still the case Friday morning before it made landfall on Sunday. They were calling for a landfall in Florida before that 4 p.m. advisory on Friday afternoon changed everything.
Yeah, exactly. They gradually kept shifting the track further west, and I want to say it was more like 10 p.m. before they actually got the track correct and put it right over the Southeast Louisiana and the coast of Mississippi. And by that point, they were really all they had to work with was Saturday and the first part of Sunday, trying to get people out of here as the storm was already nipping at our heels. So it was really pretty phenomenal that so many people evacuated. And they did it on such short order. So I thought it was a pretty amazing evacuation. That's not to overlook the shortfalls of some of the things that transpired. There were obviously some very ugly things that happened here because we didn't get some segments of the population out.
Yeah, and you heard Ken Graham talk earlier this hour when I played that soundbite from the other day about how when they issued that advisory and they used that extremely strong language about how this area would be inhabitable by modern standards and just the lengths they went to try and make people understand just how devastating a storm this was expected to be. Whew, I remember that so vividly when that advisory came out. And then when the governor and the mayor called for the first ever mandatory evacuation of New Orleans. Wow, that was 20 years ago this season.
It was pretty sobering. I remember seeing the modeling showing the surge going all the way up to the levee, to the very tip top of the levees, like on Lake Pontchartrain, for example. And it was, it was like, holy cow. That's when I got really sober about what was about to transpire and knew that this could be a really devastating storm.
And
unfortunately, it turned out to be even worse.
Yeah, that 30-foot storm surge that picked up entire casino boats and threw them across the beach road in Mississippi and literally leveled two-story homes on the Louisiana coast and just the devastation that happened afterwards. I think we became very aware of storm surge more than ever before and the frailty of the levee system. When we get back, we'll talk about what's changed since Katrina and how that could impact what we see this season with Barry Keim on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking with LSU health climatologist Barry Keim. I'm Dave Cohen. As we get ready for the 2025 Atlantic hurricane season, which, of course, we call it the Atlantic hurricane season. We're most concerned here locally with what it means for the Gulf of Mexico, the basin, the Atlantic, the Caribbean, and the Gulf. Barry, we talked about Hurricane Katrina, and it's hard once you start going down that road, especially as we come up on this landmark 20th anniversary, to not just have those memories come rushing back, and just the amazing response we saw to Katrina because of the forecasts all coming true, but the devastation, of course, that it left behind. And it's the memories to me, those are so embedded and so vivid even today.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the event happened almost yesterday. It's crazy that 20 years have gone by. But what's interesting, if you drive around New Orleans enough, you can still find, like buildings out in New Orleans East that, as far as I can tell, haven't been touched since Katrina. And there's still a house here or there, within the confines of the city in some of these neighborhoods that haven't been touched. So there's still some issues, around the city. We still haven't fully recovered. I mean, clearly, the event was a transformational event for the city of New Orleans. I mean, there's no getting around it. I mean, the city was, one thing the day before Katrina, and it was, started on a track towards something else after Katrina, and the city will never be the same. I mean, it's kind of shuffled up the population. A lot of people moved to the North Shore. We had a lot of folks came in here to help rebuild the city that stayed. We have a whole Hispanic population that we never really had before. And, the whole fabric of the city is just different now, and it is what it is. There's good things and bad things about that. But I do miss a lot of the things about the old New Orleans, where you didn't have so much blight around the landscape.
What I don't miss is the old levees that failed during Katrina. The levees have been armored. The flood walls have been made taller, stronger, and better. The Mississippi River Gulf outlet has been shut off. There have been $1.5 billion worth of improvements that have completely changed the landscape of what we expect from a hurricane now. And those are the good things, that there were lessons learned. And maybe Ida didn't completely test all of our defenses, but it did give some of them a run for their money, and they held up. If another Katrina came today, if we got that storm, which we know no two storms are ever the same, but you have to feel good, right, that we are more prepared physically with defenses against storm surge, against levee breaches, against flooding. There are bigger, better pumps than ever before. Now, we'll never get that same storm again, and I've said many times over the years, one of the weaknesses is that we always prepare for what's already happened and that will probably never happen again, but there is no way to know what the next one will do. So you got to feel better that we're prepared physically and technologically. Budget cuts, whatever aside, the forecasting is better than ever and the technology is better than ever, right?
Yeah, all of the above, correct on all accounts. So what happened with Katrina? Katrina exposed every weak link in our system. And the hope is that we've repaired all those weak links and they're no longer weak links. Now, there's probably some new ones that may have popped up. Hopefully, we're much better prepared than we were in 2005. And I'm totally convinced that we are way, way better off. They've made a lot of fixes on the levee systems. I would say another significant change that we have are the barriers that we have on Lake Pontchartrain that no longer let water flow down the 17th Street Canal, Orleans Avenue, and London Avenue canals. And I remember, when the folks from the Netherlands came over here and evaluated our system, they're like, "You idiots! You let the enemy in your camp with these canals by allowing that big surge to propagate down into the middle of the city." So they were, let's just say they were underwhelmed with the engineering that we had going on there.
Yeah, we were worried about the surge coming from the south, not coming back from the north after the storm passed over us.
Exactly. So now with those floodgates on each of those canals, I would say that makes us significantly safer. And of course, the levee system on Mr. Go was not in good shape going into Katrina. I think that's in much better shape. So what I'm hearing is, you know, and based on some of the modeling that's taken place, is that if the exact storm Katrina played out exactly the same way, there would probably only be minor flooding around the New Orleans metro area.
That would be amazing. Never enough time, Barry. I know we'll be talking to you more as the season unfolds, particularly as we watch to see if this GFS model has anything to it or not. LSU Health Climatologist Barry Keim here on WWL. By the way, the price tag on improving the levees, flood walls, pumps, and everything else, up to $14.5 billion, and they're building more.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.